Welcome to another family Bible study. Again, we're going to look together into the Word of God to see what we can discover for truth, because my, the place to look for truth is in the Bible. But it is not easy to find that truth. God has written the Bible in such a complicated fashion, and He's hidden that truth for His own timeline, His own time purposes. But we're living in that day when God is opening everything up. We're at the time of the end. The little book that had been sealed in the days of Daniel has been opened, and that is why we're learning so many things. And sometimes we're a little bit and a whole lot surprised at what we do learn, we always have to be super careful that we're not finding things just to be spectacular or just to be noticed, but that indeed they are from the Bible and solidly based upon the Bible, because the Bible is not anything to be tampered with or to be played with or to be looked upon casually. It is very serious business to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And woe unto us if we say, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Lord has not said. Now we've gotten down to Jeremiah 50, and for the next couple of chapters, they're long chapters, but God is going to be focusing on the end of Babylon. And it is, again, at first blush, you would say, well, that ought to be a couple of pretty easy chapters. The fact is that God has written it the way He wants to write it, and it turns out for us it is fairly difficult. I remember going through Jeremiah 50 and 51 several years ago, and oh my, did I struggle to understand what those verses are speaking about. Of course, now we have learned a whole lot more, and so that helps immensely. Now, for example, we're down here to Jeremiah 50, and let's just read verse 1 and 2, which we covered in our last study. The word that Jehovah spake against Babylon and against the land of Chaldea. Remember, Chaldea is a synonym for Babylon, by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish, and conceal it not, and conceal not, that say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces. Remember, we saw they were the gods of Babylon, and God is saying, Babylon is destroyed, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. Now, remember, we looked ahead and saw that Babylon here, without any question in these verses, are the churches that have been overrun by Babylon, because Babylon represents the kingdom of Satan, and God is using Satan he's officially employed him to rule in the churches to prepare them for judgment day, as well as the whole world. We examined that in our last study. The problem is that now, as we're going to go right on to the next verse, it says, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein, they shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, says Jehovah, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Jehovah their God. Now, this is talking about Babylon coming from the north. If we go, for example, to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 15, we read there, for lo, Jeremiah 1 verse 15, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Jehovah, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entrance, entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands." Now again, remember, it's talking here, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north." The north. That's the same thing we read here in Jeremiah 50, verse 5. "For out of the north there cometh a nation against her." And normally when we read the Bible, when we see the north, we know that in the local scene, Jerusalem and the enemies mainly were to the north. That is, Babylon was to the northeast, they would come swooping down, or Assyria, that was also an enemy, and they would come on Israel from the north. And so normally when we see the north, we immediately think of the enemies of God. And that certainly is in view in Jeremiah chapter 1. "I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, and they will come down and bring judgment on Jerusalem." This incidentally matches what we read in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20, where God is talking about the same thing as he is in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where we read in verse 8 of Revelation 20, or let's begin with verse 7, "When the 1,000 years are expired," and we know that 1,000 years symbolically is the whole church age, and it's at the end of the church age that Satan was again given an official position by God to rule within the churches. He is the man of sin who has taken his seat within all the congregations. And that's at the end of 1,000 years, which coincides with the end of the church age, which coincides with the beginning of the Great Tribulation, that final 23 years before Judgment Day begins. And Satan would be loosed so that officially he's when it says he's out of his prison, that's language simply to indicate that now again he has an official position. When Christ went to the cross, he was cast out of heaven, which is a symbol of the fact that he had been given a death blow, he had been cast out, and yet he's been allowed all through the New Testament era to harass and the churches, to sow tares within the churches, but he is not a free man. He has no official position. He is an intruder coming in, but now he has been loosed. He has got an official title given to him by God to rule in the churches, and we read in verse 8, "And shall go out." This is Satan. "Shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city." In other words, they're out to destroy the churches. He officially reigns there, and he is being used of God to make the churches even more sinful than they are, and to make sin more sinful than it's ever been in the world. It coincides with what we read in Romans 1, that finally God gives them up to terrible, terrible sins, and he is utilizing Satan in that fashion, so that the world and the churches are being prepared for Judgment Day. Well, now in Jeremiah 1, God uses the figure that Satan comes down from the north. But now when we look at Jeremiah 50, we find here that he's coming down from the north, or that somebody is coming down from the north, but he's coming to destroy Babylon, Not, it isn't Babylon coming down from the north, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her. Remember when we looked at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 41 and 42, to show that this Babylon that is being talked about are the churches. Remember, we looked at Jeremiah 50, verse 41, "Behold, the people shall come from the north, a great nation. Many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and they shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel." The cruel here in the Bible incidentally means there is no mercy. Mercy is all gone. And will not show mercy. "Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, everyone put in array like a man in the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon." And remember when we looked in 6 verse 23, we had almost an identical verse, only it said, "O daughter of Zion." Because Zion, which are the churches, which is the external representation of the kingdom of God throughout the New Testament era, has become Babylon. Satan rules there. Well, going now back to Jeremiah 50, verse 3, "Out of the north," in other words, here an enemy is coming. Let's say this, to come out of the north is a figure that God indicates to that an enemy is coming. It can be God as the enemy, or it can be Satan as the enemy. The context will determine it. Just because we see the north, we don't immediately think of Satan. We have to look at the context. And this context very definitely where someone is coming out of the north to destroy Babylon, it's not Satan destroying himself. It is God who is coming. "For out of," all right, now I'm back to Jeremiah 50, verse 3. "For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast." Well, now we have a very interesting problem. Gog and Magog, that's Babylon, as we read in Revelation 20, and we saw that coincided with Jeremiah chapter 1. It is Satan who is ruling in the churches, and he is the one who is being used of God to prepare this world for judgment. But here it talks about someone coming against Babylon to destroy Babylon. And the only way we can understand that is that this is talking about the day of judgment. God comes to bring his final judgment plan against all the unsaved of the world, including all those in the churches. They are come. It's that nation that comes against her is the kingdom of God. It is the eternal kingdom of God. And as we study the Bible, it's very interesting that the battle, and it always ties back. As soon as you see a battle between Babylon and God, or somewhere near the end, it has to focus on the rapture. Because there's nothing in the Bible. We know with great certainty that in God's plan, the church age ended in 1988, and then began a 23-year period of great tribulation, which was a time of testing and a time of separating the wheat from the tares. There's no battle going on. It is the fact that churches are becoming more and more wicked, and yet there are In the latter part of that 23 years, the final 6,100 days, there is a great harvest of people. But this harvest of people that is going on right now, the people being saved all over the world, are they fighting against Satan? Are they? Is there a battle going on? And there's no battle going on. It's just on the one hand, Satan is officially still ruling in the churches and in the world, and sin is multiplying drastically. It's multiplying. We're almost ashamed to be a human being when we see what the world, our fellow human beings, are doing with sexual perversion and with homosexuality and with lying and stealing and murdering and all the other ugly things that are going on. And it's incredible how wicked the world has come. But is there a battle going on? Who's fighting? Who's fighting? There's no battle going on. But the moment that the rapture occurs, there is a battle. But it's not where we can see the two sides and see a fight going on. It is based on the language of, and we're getting very familiar with this, of Matthew chapter 12, where we read in verse 41 about the men of Nineveh. They are used as an illustration, and the Queen of Sheba is used as an illustration. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment. This is Matthew 12, verse 41, with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jesus than Jonah is here. You see, to bring a condemnation, that is to say, you are wicked, you're going to be destroyed. You are wicked, you're going to be destroyed. That's God is using that, speaking of that as a battle. It is the final onslaught of the kingdom of God against the wicked of the world, as they are under the condemnation of God. Now, there is a battle going on spiritually all the time, in another sense, because every time someone sins, the Word of God condemns them. They are being destroyed they're coming under the wrath of God as they're living out their life. But this will be the final condemnation. And God speaks of it as the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. It sounds just like it's a battle. And that's one of the ways in which God has hidden this whole business until our day. Until our day, there was no way that we could begin to understand this. But now that God has opened the little book, He's opened our minds to a lot more information, we know that this is where the focus is. When it says, or notice in verse chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 42, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. It's like the Queen of Sheba, who came to King David and saw how great he was, and she became a child of God. And it's like she now is finally going to fight against the unsaved of the world. Well, just the fact that she arises with a glorified spiritual body is a tremendous condemnation against all those who had their own kind of a gospel. It's like they are being assaulted, like they're being told, you see, we have won. We have won the battle. And you are under judgment. He shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, this is the battle that we're reading about here in Jeremiah chapter 15. It is what is going to happen on the day of the rapture. As all of the believers, they will be resurrected with their glorified spiritual bodies. if we happen to be a child of God living at that time, instantaneously, we will be changed into a resurrected soul, or a resurrected body, rather. And all of those who have come under the authority of Satan, all those in the churches, will see the true believers being caught up to be with Christ in heaven. And it will be a hammer blow on them that will emphasize, and you are totally destroyed. God has come with all his cruelty. That is, there is no mercy. No mercy. You are under destruction. You are going to die. You are going to, this final great tribulation is the time when finally the whole world becomes a world of death. But then God further confuses the issue, the way he writes this. Now, explain what the Bible will allow us to understand concerning verse 3. That out of the north there cometh a nation against her. That is all the believers, the true believers, who are the fact that they demonstrate by the very fact that they've received a glorified spiritual body will be a tremendous blow, a destructive blow against those who thought that they were saved and were not saved at all. And none shall dwell. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Now, when he says both man and beast, he's saying we can't get a whole long story here just out of those few words, but we know it is the time when those who are being destroyed will be destroyed forever. Well, ever. They will. Their end has come, and beast also. The beast, you know, the animals represent the kingdom or represent the world, and it'll be time when all the whole world will be destroyed. It is the time of the end. This ties in, I think, with Romans chapter 8, where it says that the whole creation waits for the redemption of our bodies, because that will be the time for the new heaven and the new earth. And it means that all of this earth will be completely destroyed. The whole world, the whole universe will be annihilated. It'll never, never come into existence again. Now, look at how confusing this is. Verse 4, in those days, which days? Well, not in the days of the rapture, what's going to follow. That isn't what follows. But in those days that are tied directly to the rapture. You see, once we get into this period where we are right now, the Great Tribulation, there are a number of things that are happening. Satan has been loosed, and he is hammering against the churches. The last 6,100 days of this period is a period of great harvest time. And the world is being prepared for the day of judgment. And right at the end, the last day of the great tribulation comes. The rapture, the final completion of our salvation, an enormously important event. It's all wrapped up in this 23-year period. And that's what God is here. In those days and at that time, says Jehovah, I'm reading verse 4, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. Remember in Ezekiel, there come a time when the two sticks will be one, Judah and Israel. There's only one kingdom of God.